Another koach, gedula chemincha, tatir, serura, alafet gimel yutaf sadi, kabel rinat, amcha sagvenu, taharenu, no. Fresh iron sintet nun. Na gibor dorshe yehud ha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rakame sitkat ha tamid. Gam lem nun gimel dalet yud kaf chin bet tet resh zadi taf gimel. The letter kaf that created the planet we call the sun with its two names, Shemesh, meaning servant, and chatan, meaning hot. One is the external name, one is the internal name. The Tet, which created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, Leo, and through its gematria of 216 connects us to the 216 letters of the 72 names of God. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Het Kuf Bet Het Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, our generation. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shinkufab sadiyutaf. And the last verse, we say it a whisper for the purposes of teaching. I will say it out loud. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. I'm now going to read from a verse from the Parasha of Ekev. And I'm reading from the first section, Meditation Over a Blessing. Verse 6. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kodeneihu. V'keivan dechai birkata salka kol dargin dile la kulhu zeminin legabe hahu nechora dila nahir begin liankhara legaba v'kol shaken I ki birkata desagin mivarkan la umatrin la beitrin Kadishin biraza di amen amen. Hu raza de kishre de kol. Yehuda de kadosh kadusha biraza de mare umatar. Lehahi birkata be itrin ilain bi kadka yaut. When this blessing ascends, all the grades above summon the non-shining, namely Malchut, to shine on it. Even more so, if it is a blessing, said by many, it is adorned with holy crowns by means of saying Amen. Amen is the secret of the connections within each unification and sanctification in accordance with the secret of his master. It properly adorns that blessing with sublime crowns. The verse is saying clearly what many of us have heard otherwise, but it's important to always remember. If you hear a blessing, make sure you say amen.
Amen.
If you say a blessing, make sure there's someone there who will say amen to your blessing. The combination of the circuit that's created by the blessing and the amen is extremely powerful. And this section is explaining that in great detail. This verse is a little esoteric because this section is being taught by the faithful shepherd, which is Moshe. So it's sometimes a little harder to understand, but it's highly worthwhile. And we're in the process of going through this section in detail in our 5 o'clock classes. So we did that today at 5, and we'll continue this section at 5 tomorrow. And I hope to have this first section on the website under the Zohar links, which you can find in the revealed reading section under other. Excuse the plug, but it's important that people start to make your connections to the Zohar there as well. Does anybody have any questions before I start? Not hearing any questions, so we'll go directly. Does anybody have a volume of the Sefer Yetzirah open where they can read the Hebrew? Mary, go ahead. We're reading verse 1-5 in that book. It's actually 1-4 in the book that we're studying. Actually, no, it's 1-3. Run 1-3. I'm sorry.
In Kaplan's book, Kahanoik, is that the same or is it different?
I'm sorry? Say again, Chris.
In Kaplan's book, is it the same 1-3?
Well, she's reading from Kaplan's book. It is 1-3 in Kaplan's book, which we're going to hear. But it's 1-4 in the book that... Let me rephrase that. It's 1-4 in the Kaplan book. It's 1-3 in the book that I'm using, which is from the Ramak. Mary, go ahead and read it, please. Yes.
This is Kaplan, so it's 1-3 or 1-4?
Start reading 1-4, and I'll let you know. It's the one that has above and below, east and west.
Hold on.
That may be 1-3.
I apologize. I'm in the process... a moving computer, so I don't have all of my material.
So that would be 1-5 that talks about above and below and east and west in this one?
Yes, that's the one. Please go ahead and read it.
Okay. I don't see east and west in either 1-3 or 1-4.
It's in 1-5. Marcia was able to get it, so I don't...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so on page 44.
Mary will read it, Marcia. Thank you.
My Hebrew is very rusty. Asher Sifarosh Bilita Mitan Asher Sheon Lahotz Sof
Mary, would you mind? Marcia, are you able to read it?
No.
Okay. Mary, why don't you just read the English then?
Okay, my Hebrew is very rusty. 10 Sephiroth of nothingness, the measure is 10, which has no end. A depth of beginning, a depth of end, a depth of good, a depth of evil, a depth of above, a depth of below, a depth of east, a depth of west, a depth of north, a depth of south. The singular Masur, Master of God, faithful King, dominates over them all, from his holy dwelling until eternity of eternities.
Okay. My mistake, guys. That's next week's class, which I was preparing this week. Go back to the previous.
Ten Sephiroth of nothingness. Ten and not nine.
That's
ten
right.
And not 11. Understand with wisdom. Be wise with understanding. Examine with them and probe from them. Make each thing stated on its existence, essence, and make the Creator sit on his base.
And that's verse what? 1:3?
1:4.
1:4. Okay. We discussed the previous class, ten sephirah of nothingness. The Hebrew word is blima. It's a very significant word. And its definition really needs to be understood on many different levels. Much more so than logically.
It's blima.
Who's asking a question?
I am. It's blima, it's pronounced?
It's blima, yes. It's bet lamed yud mem he. Ma means what? Bli
what,
means
yeah.
Without.
Without what?
The direct translation is without what?
Okay.
So typically it's translated as nothingness.
Okay,
but it's much more meaningful than that. And we need to understand
does that mean space,
it.
Space, or what does it mean? Space, voidness, what's it mean? What's nothingness mean?
Let me continue, and if you still have this question at the end of the class, I'll answer it then.
Okay.
This class is about the Sephirot, but it's on a different understanding of the Sephirot, because most of us are used to seeing the Sephirot in the Tree of Life. In Kaplan's book, he puts it, in every book I've ever seen in Kabbalah, there is a Tree of Life printed. Some of them are corrupted, and the easiest way to know the corruption is if there's a line that goes from Netzach and Hod to Malchut, it's a corrupted translation, a corrupted picture. Unless you're reading from something dealing with the Kabbalah system of the Gra, which is the Gaon de Gvilna. His tree has lines from Netzach and Hod, but primarily nobody knows what his system is. Very few people study it. And so if you see a tree that has that, you can pretty much know that it's a corrupted picture. But all pictures of the Tree of Life are corrupted. And it's because of this word in the Sefer Yetzirah, Blima, that this comes to be clear. When you see a picture of the tree, you are thinking of what you are seeing. You are looking at circles and lines. You are looking at an order. And that's not what the Sephirah are. The Sephirah are vessels that are spiritual. They're not physical. And you're perceiving that picture from the standpoint of your physical experience. Blima means nothingness. It means the Sephirot cannot be understood logically. They cannot be explained, as all the people try and do. Keter is crown, and Chachma is wisdom, and Bina is understanding, and the attributes of this are that. This is logic. This is your conscious mind trying to understand something that is not understandable. Because the Tree of Life, the Sephirot, come from a level called Atzilut, a world that is totally spiritual, has no connection to physicality. There is no evil in the world of absolute. So right there we know we can't understand it, because our experience is all about good and evil. And in absolute there is no evil. In the tree of life there is no evil. And how do we understand that? How do we cope with that? Bli ma means disregard your logic and your senses and connect to your intuition. Without what? Without physicality. Stay away from the pictures, they're going to confuse you. So let's just look at the words. Abraham the patriarch said very clearly, 10 but not 9. Now I've said stay away from the picture, now I'm going to bring you back to the picture, and you'll begin to understand why I'm doing that as we go along in the class. Go look at the picture, visualize the picture. Don't really look at it, visualize it in your mind. And there's a dotted circle on some of those pictures. And that dotted circle is described as dot, knowledge. And it lies above Chesed and Gevura, but below Chochma and Bina. Dot is the restriction point, the balance point between Chochma and Bina. It's not a Sefirah. It has no manifestation. Just look at the word, dot. Knowledge. How do you manifest knowledge? How do you bring knowledge into your life?
Through Bina.
Say again, Joe?
Through Bina. Bina. Understanding.
No. You bring it into your life with your hands. And your hands are Malchut. Not Vina. Dat has no malhut. It's never manifested. It's only manifested through another process, another idea, another direction, different connections, different descriptions. I hope I'm clear. But it's not, if I'm not clear, I'm going to say tough.
That was an error then.
Yes.
That's an error.
What I'm going to say, tough, but not tough as in I'm letting you go. In tough in why I want you to think about what I've just said. Because this whole experience of meditation, whatever techniques you've used in the past, the techniques that we talk about in this class are dealing with your intuitive connection, as is all meditation. But meditation is intuitive, but we're supposed to understand it logically. Meditation is intuitive, and we can't understand it logically. And that paradox is what I'm trying to get across. There are 10 sefirot, but not 9. Later in the class, I'm going to describe that in more detail. There are 10 sefirot, but not 11. Dot is not a sefirah.
No.
This whole description is talking about the relationship of Keter and Dot. I'm sorry, I'm getting... Okay. Excuse me for the interruption. This whole Mishnah is talking about the relationship of Keter and Dat. To understand the relationship of Keter, we have to understand that Keter is not a Sephirah, and yet Keter is a Sephirah. The word Keter translates as crown, and it's clearly understood. What is a crown? It is something outside of the essence of the king. It puts put on his head, but it's not part of him. Does it make him the king, or does it enhance his attribute of being a king? Keter is not a Sephirah. Keter is a Sephirah, because there's 10 and not 11. 10 and not 9. The Kabbalists have this argument, Mechloket. It's called an argument for the sake of heaven. The argument is Keter a crown? I mean, is Keter a Sephirah, a vessel? Or is it light? Is it part of the light, or is it a vessel? Everything comes from Keter. If I take a seed and I plant it in the ground, if I look into that seed, if I were capable of looking into that seed, I would see a picture of the root, the branch, the trunk, the branches, and eventually the fruit. I would see all four of those phases. It's all in the seed. Keter is the seed. Everything comes there from the seed. And everything is in the seed. Is it light or is it vessel? This is the disagreement. This is the argument. This is the search for truth. When we are saying that Keter is light, it's not a vessel. When we say this, there's still 10 Sephirot. There's still Dot. Dot then acts as a Sephirah. They will sometimes, in your readings of Kabbalistic literature, they'll talk about Chabad, Chochma, Bina, and Dat. Sometimes they'll talk about Keter, Chochma, and Bina. What is the difference? It's a very real difference, and it's structured in this discussion. And it won't be understood by you until you use this meditation I'm going to teach you today to connect to the Sephirot. There is a philosopher by the name of Descartes, lived about 300 years ago. And his famous quotation, his famous quotation is, I exist, no, I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. Kabbalah disagrees with him. Why does it disagree with him?
That was Aristotle, right?
Say again, Joe?
That was Aristotle. What?
No, it was Descartes who said, I think, therefore I am.
No, Yeah.
Kabbalah disagrees with him, because thinking is the level of consciousness known as Bina. It's understanding. But there's two sefirot above that. One is Chachmah, which is your unconscious, and one is Keter, which we've just discussed and indicating to you the paradox. When you have a consciousness of I, you are in your unconscious level. Before you have a consciousness of I, you still exist. That's Keter. As a discussion point, when you are discussing Keter, if you can shift a letter in Keter, you create a brand new world. And literally, we do that on Yom Kippur. During the Nila prayer, we can go into Bina, to the Keter of Bina, and transform our year to what we want. How we do that is part of a whole other class. And it's really part of this exercise of learning how to meditate using the letters properly. Because as we've talked a number of times, the letters can be Sitrei Torah or Tamei Torah. Sitrei Torah means using the metaphor of the television and the remote control. Sitrei Torah is knowing how to build a remote control. Tamei Torah is being able to press the button so the channels change and the voice goes up and down because you want it louder or softer. Tamei Torah is capable of changing the letters by pushing the letters, just like the TV remote control. But it's also, when you change the letter at the level of Keter, you are changing it all the way down that sephirotic tree. You're changing many things, and you may not know what you do. The old adage, don't ask the questions you don't want to know the answer to. You want the year, but do you want the year that you want, or do you want the year that will come to you because that's the best thing for you? It's a discussion point. Do I think it's a discussion point? It's actually a meditative point. It's in that point between your unconscious and you're conscious. For 400 years, our society has minimized our connection to our unconscious. These exercises, these techniques I teach in this class, are there to help you connect to your unconscious. The rest of this verse, Mishnah, from the Sefer Yetzirah, talks about what in English means oscillating consciousness. Next week and the week after, we will talk about something called running and returning. On an understanding level, on a logical level, you go up to your unconscious and get a flash. You get an insight. You get a wonderful thought. And now you bring that down and you work that thought. You understand that thought. You expand that thought. Will it work in my world? What do I have to change to make it work? And then you go back to your unconscious running and returning constantly until you've brought that flash of insight into your life to be able to work it and work with it and to experience it. Running and returning, oscillating consciousness. Go to your unconscious, go to your conscious. Go to your, run to your unconscious, return to your conscious. This is the technique that the Sefer Yetzirah is teaching us. We have been taught about the tree of life, as I said earlier. There's a diagram. Everybody knows what it is. And there are many Kabbalists who over the centuries have talked about what are the attributes of each Sefirah. But the Sefirot cannot be understood. They're above the level of consciousness. They're in the unconscious. They can only be experienced. You have a flash, you're in the Sefirah. You bring it down to the understand it, it's no longer a Sefirah. It's something else. You run back to the Sefirah and you find you're in a different Sefirah. Your colors have changed. Your mood has changed. The insight has changed. It was there, but I lost it. Move back and forth. Run and return. What Abraham is telling us in this Mishnah is test the Sefirah, the Sefirot. What does it mean to test? It means to experience. If I give you a test on mathematics, did you learn the material? You didn't learn the material. Test the Sefirah. Do they work? What is their essence? How do I experience their essence? Test the Sefirah. Run and return, back and forth, and then again, constantly, test by experience it. Let me give you a somewhat of an example to understand what I'm describing, and I know that I'm not describing it properly, because I'm describing it logically. There's a pot of water in front of you. Put your hand in the pot of water. Is it hot or is it cold? Is it 58 degrees or 62 degrees? Is it 75 degrees or 82 degrees? Is it hot or is it cold? You experience it, you test it, you put your hand in the water. If it's hot, you're going to withdraw it pretty quickly. If it's warm, you're going to say, oh, this is comfortable. If it's cold, you're going to withdraw again. What's the difference between too hot and too cold? It's just outside of your comfort zone. Test the Sefirot, each and every one of them, in order to learn what they are. You cannot know without experiencing it through meditation. Exploring it, setting its boundaries, describing its boundaries, describing the testing of the water in front of you with a 15-page paper is not testing. It's exploring. bring your intuition to your understanding lowers it. It brings it. It changes it. Run and return. I don't know how to express it. My teacher didn't know how to express it. You just have to experience it. Now, I've discussed that this class is about astrology as well. How many planets are there in our solar system? And Joe's going to tell me there's 9, right, Joe?
Right, okay.
Well, you're wrong. There's more. There's 10 and not 9. And let's start to learn a little bit about the solar system and start to put these planets into some understanding. Astrologically, I'm going to give you an example that's kind of amazing. The most literal logical mind in the Jewish history of minds is the Maimonides, the Rambam. Very logical. It's also the most Kabbalistic text ever written, the Guide to the Perplexed. People don't understand that, they don't read, they don't see it. Baruch Hashem. Maimonides is quoted as saying in chapter 8 of the Guide to the Perplexed that every astrological body has a soul. And that soul is an angel. And there are 10 species of angels. And elsewhere, not Maimonides, but elsewhere, other logical people and Kabbalistic people specify that those souls are the perfected human beings that were created, were here before Adam. I don't want to go into it. If you ever want to ask me questions about it, I will express it. But all of the craziness that you've heard about gray people and different UFOs are all related to different levels of Earth. All of this is information in the Zohar. There were 974 generations before Adam. The people who achieved their correction in those lifetimes were given a gift. They became the soul of the astrological planets. Astrology works. It's a science. It's clear. But we don't, how do we justify, how do we rationalize? Everything is known, everything is preordained, but we have free choice. We discussed that when we discussed restriction in class 5. What is the Keter of the planets, of the astrological planets? Thank God for human logic. Because 2 years ago or 3 years ago, our scientists, wonderful people, they really are. They're serving God in their own way. They have an argument, the same argument the Kabbalists have. Is Pluto a planet or not?
Yeah.
Is Keter a Sephirah or not? It's the same argument. What gives us the insight logically that Keter is Pluto? It just happens to be coincidentally that Pluto has two different aspects, three different aspects. One, it switches places for 20 years with Neptune. For 20 years of its orbit, Pluto is inside the orbit of Neptune. Pluto has an orbit that takes 248 years. Anybody remember what 248 relates to? It relates to the number of parts of the body. It relates to Abraham, Gematria, 248. And Abraham is a chariot for Chesed. Pluto is Keter. Eventually the scientists will come to understand there are 10 and not 9. Pluto is a planet, and it's not a planet, just like Keter is a Sephirah and not a Sephirah. Neptune also switches locations. Both Pluto and Neptune, along with Venus, rotate in the opposite direction. It rotates clockwise, indicating judgment, indicating the judgment. Because Keter and Chachma and Bina are levels that are above us, that cannot be in our world. That is changing. In Hebrew astrology, always talked about the seven planets. It was not that the Kabbalists didn't know that there were three other planets. It was just that those planets are so much more powerful that they cannot work in our world. The three upper sefirot do not work in our world. Our world consists of the seven lower sefirot. Just like Hebrew astrology is the seven lower planets. Now, the explanation is that's all they could see with the naked eye, and they didn't have telescopes. 700 years ago, before telescopes, a Kabbalist by the name of Shabtai Donalo wrote a treatise, a beautiful book that's never been translated but should be. And it's a commentary on the Sefer Yetzirah. And he, by meditating, he, by observing his body, the Sefirot within his body, and relating that those Sefirot to the planets, he describes the weather patterns. He essentially wrote what NASA has been publishing the last 30 years about the planets. As they sent all the rockets and the satellites by the planets and got more information, all they had to do was read his book, his commentary. Keter is Pluto. Chachma is Neptune. Bina is Uranus. Uranus travels the sun in 84 years. 84 is 2 times 42. Anybody remember what 42 relates to?
Oh, yeah.
The Anabekoach.
Anabekreation.
The creation. What is Bina when you've read these attributes described by people? What is Bina? It's the mother. It's that warmth, the mother love. Where does creation come from? It comes through Bina. Bina doesn't go backwards. It goes forward. It's in demonstrating its mercy, even though it's on the left column. And even though Bina does have judgment, it's still merciful. Since Pluto is not always a planet, what do we do? Where's the next planet? Where's the tenth? It's called the asteroid belt. That's dots. It influences us. In Western astrology, they look at Ceres, they look at some of the larger asteroids, but they don't look at the belt as a whole. They don't understand it. Chesed is Saturn. Givurah is Jupiter. What's the name of Jupiter in Hebrew? Tzedek. What's another meaning of Tzedek? Justice. Judgment. Hod is Mars. Netzach is Venus. Venus goes clockwise, not like the counterclockwise of the rest of the solar system, indicating mercy. Yesod is Mercury. Malchut is the moon. And Tiferet is the sun. Now there are four question marks in that list, meaning the Kabbalists have disagreements. Which is which? The one I gave you is the one that is most generally accepted. But there are other ways of perceiving the Sephirot. Don't let this list confuse you. But at the same time, it's a tool, astrologically, to understand what the influence of the planets are and how they relate to the Sephirot. And the Sephirot are what is the cause and effect of our world. Everything is created in the four phases of the Sephirot. Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin and Malchut, the four phases. The four question marks. There's a disagreement whether the asteroids are dot. Maybe they're not anything. In which case, the Earth itself becomes the tenth. Givurah being Jupiter and Mars being Hod, there's disagreement. Some say it's Mars is Givurah and Jupiter is Hod. And the disagreement between Venus and Mercury being Netzach and Yesod. Same kind of disagreement. Now, you can see this class is very lengthy, Baruch Hashem. We'll continue now to the handout, unless there are questions. Anybody got questions?
When he says to go to the unconscious, is that reference to unconscious mean spiritual?
Is that it? Say, ask the question again, Joe.
Okay, when he goes to the unconscious level, is that the same unconscious? Is that equivocate that to the spiritual?
I knew that was a difficult question to answer. Thank you.
It's a difficult question.
spiritual, what does it mean? Define it for me.
The lack of substance. The simplest way, to keep it simple.
You know, my teacher answered the definition of spiritual is sharing, because it goes against our nature. You're both saying the same thing in different words. What goes against your nature lacks sustenance, blima, nothingness. So the way you've raised the question, I cannot answer it. But I understand the question, so I'm going to rephrase it with your permission.
Okay.
The question is, what is the unconscious? The unconscious is the higher level, a higher level of consciousness. It's concealed for a reason. By expanding our consciousness through meditation, we bring more of our unconscious to a level of consciousness. There is a level of unconsciousness that belongs to a level of unconsciousness that belongs to the quantum level. It's no longer me, it's a group of me. It's no longer me, but it's everybody. And there are gradations and levels of levels within levels, just as there are Sephirot within Sephirot within Sephirot. This is the question. What is the unconscious? It's our conscious waiting to be revealed. Why is it concealed? Why do you wear clothes, Joe?
To keep warm.
You were taught to wear clothes. But the first person wasn't taught to wear clothes. Why did he wear clothes? Because at his level of spirituality, of his level of consciousness, which is the real definition of spirituality, at his level of consciousness, he knew the spiritual law. In order to be revealed, it first must be concealed. We wear clothes in order to reveal ourselves, because it first must be concealed. A paradox, but the Tzimtzum is a paradox. Any other questions? If you turn to the handout, you see a verse in Hebrew. This verse is Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Ezekiel is a famous prophet who speaks of the destruction of the temple and then accompanied the Jewish people into exile. And he was granted the unusual experience of having a prophecy outside of Israel. Prior to that prophecy, there were no other prophets, and it was thought that prophecy could not exist outside of Israel. But God was merciful, and he knew that the people needed reinforcement. And he granted that to Ezekiel. So Ezekiel prophesied, and the Kabbalists have been studying his prophecies forever because they are extremely coded. And Chris is going to the chapter and verse, Baruch Hashem. The techniques that I'm going to disclose to you here are well-known Kabbalistic techniques that you should be doing for yourself. You don't speak Hebrew, it's not a problem. I don't speak Hebrew, but I can count. I don't speak Hebrew, I can count letters. I don't speak Hebrew, but I can make relationships of gematria because I have a dictionary. I have a word. I have words. The more I do learn about the Hebrew and the gematrias, the more and deeper and more connected my meditations become. But if you know nothing, your meditations will work with these techniques. I've given you the transliteration. Vayehi b'shaloshim shana brevii b'ervii chamisha lachodesh va'ani betoch hagola al nehar kever Neftehu Hashamayim Va'aretz Marot Elohim. I apologize, Bacha. I know I have just brutalized that. And the reason I brutalized it is I didn't put the vowels into the verse. So I didn't read it from the Hebrew. I read it from the transliteration. I apologize. It happened in the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th of the month, as I was among the exile by the river Chebar. The heavens opened and I saw visions of Elohim. It's an amazing verse, isn't it? Very clear. The man received a prophecy, he received a vision of the heavens. He received the visions of God, of Elohim. And he describes it in his prophecies. The Kabbalists have been studying this. What did they do with it? They teach to ignore the first word, Vayehi. Why do they say ignore the first word? Because the trope is the chanting, the mark on the letter of the word that tells you stop. It separates this from that. When you read English and you come to a comma, you pause. That's what the trope does. It tells us to pause or to connect to the next word. The different punctuation marks in English are nominally trope in Hebrew when it comes to Tanakh. So the Kabbalists teach us ignore the first word because of the trope. Count the balance of the letters, and you will find that there are 70 letters. 70 is the gematria of the word sod, which means secret. So there are secrets here. It's a code. Every verse in the Torah that has 70 letters has a secret within it. How many are there? Well, as you saw, I had to eliminate the first word, so we don't really know. Because each person needs to find verses that they resonate with. And that's what you do with your names on my website. You get your personal verses. Because those verses, the same technique we're using here, you can use on your verses and meditate on those verses and you will find many, many secrets about yourself within those verses. There's another approach, which is to count all the words. Just because somebody said, ignore the first word, doesn't mean it's right. So now there are 74 letters. But 74 spells the word Ad, Ayin Dalet. You know from the Shema Yisrael that the Ayin of Shema and the Dalet of Echad are large letters in the Torah. And they, that the word Ad means witness. It's teaching us that this verse is a witness to many secrets, including the secret of the oscillating consciousness. How many words are there? There are 17 words. 17 is the gematria of good. Every time you find a verse that has 17 letters or 17 words, you are connecting to the consciousness of good. This technique I'm just describing in this handout, you take the first letter of each word and you put it into a sequence of letters. And that's what I have done here. There are 17 letters, starting with the bet, shin, bet, bet, lamed, vav, bet, hey, ayin, nun, kaf, nun, hey, vav, aleph, mem, aleph. And you use the vowels that come from the letter in the verse. I see Batya understood what I was saying. Most people don't.
Yes, okay. I see why you're... Yes.
Now you rearrange them into 2 and 3 letter words. If you have 3 letter words, it is best because it's right, left, and central. But 17 doesn't work like that. So my teacher arranged it this way. Other Kabbalists do it differently. Sit in a relaxed position and repeat the above sounds. Besha bavel vaha vaha ank nechawa eima. Besha bavel vavcha ank nechawa ima. Besha bavel vavcha ank nechawa ima. We don't use the word mantra. We use the word Shem Kadosh, a holy name. These are holy names, each and every letter, each and every 3 letters, each and every word. They're holy names. Say them in a clean place. Say them in a place that's kadosh, holy. Say them with the consciousness, where are you going? I'm going to connect to the Sefirot. Why do you want to connect to the Sefirot? For the experience, desire to receive for oneself alone. To control the world, desire to receive for oneself alone. To balance myself so I can learn to share more, desire to receive in order to share. Use the proper consciousness. Repeat the words. You will be connected with these names with the Sefirot. But it isn't enough to visualize, to see visions of the Sefirot. You must bring that information down to Bina and eventually down into your world. it isn't enough to be up here in the esoteric mental state of Chochma. Go into your unconscious, run to your unconscious and return to Bina. Run to the unconscious and return to the conscious. Bring the information down with you for yourself in order to share more. For yourself in order to expand your consciousness. For yourself to make it work. Now, I'm sure everybody, I know for a fact, many of you have come to this study, to this experience through techniques of other paths, other spiritual paths, and you've been taught to meditate. Using the Hebrew letters to meditate in this way is a very different experience. And it is your personal experience. You are going to be going out into a spiritual plane, and in that spiritual plane are entities who have been given permission to confuse you, have been given permission to steal your life force. You must protect yourself. Before you do this, say the Ana B'Koach, say the Shema. These are protection shields. When you return, thank God, praise God. This is a protection shield. Ground the energy. Bring it, run to your unconscious and bring it to your conscious. Run and return. The purpose is to teach you oscillating consciousness. The purpose is much more on the unconscious level. Does anybody have any questions?
You make words out of those letters? That you from the
say sentence. Again.
You make words out of them, or you just read the first letter of each word.
You take the first letter of each word, and you create a string of 17 letters, which is what's on the handout. And then I've shown you how to create words of either two letters or three letters from that. This technique for this verse is on the handout. This technique can be used to any verse in the Tanakh. It can be used for your personal verses. It can be used, you can use the last letter of each word. You can use the second letter of each word. You can use the third letter of each word. But sometimes words don't have three letters, and what do you do with the missing letter? Each technique, first letter, last letter, middle letters, each of them is giving you a connection to a different Sefirah, because the formation of what you are doing, everything comes from the Sefirot, from the four phases of creation. If you think you're doing it intellectually, it's a corruption. Everything comes from the four phases. Everything comes from the four, from the Sefirot. Everything comes from creation. The letters are tools to transform physicality using your mind to accomplish that. But the process takes practice. There will be people in this class who will say these words over and over again and not go anywhere. They won't see anything because they're not open to see it. Do it for a year, and I guarantee you, you will be open to see it, because the letters will change you. Yes, Bhaj.
So this is meditation that is done with your eyes open, as opposed to the meditation that he's told to do it with your eyes closed.
It's a meditation you should do upside down, Bhaj. I can't tell you whether to do it eyes open or eyes closed. Because some people see with their eyes open and some people see with their eyes closed. Everybody is different. Everybody is different.
Okay, so I can close my eyes and see the letters. Okay.
Right now, you're a native-born Israeli. Hebrew is your first language. What we teach is very foreign to the way you learn the language. But ultimately, can you close your eyes? Can you visualize a sentence in Hebrew? If I asked one of the other English speaking, if you closed your eyes, can you visualize a sentence of 10 words in English?
Yes.
Every letter. You can focus on the letter, you can draw back. You see the 10 letters. I'm asking you to see 17. It's very difficult. Very few people are able to do that without practice. The more you practice, the more you do this meditation, the more you will experience. And each experience will be different. And as you have an experience, you may need help in understanding it. Call me. Email me. I am here to assist you in achieving this so that you don't get fooled by these entities. But only you can determine where these entities are coming from. Are they positive or are they negative? Or are they neutral? You're going to be shown the Sephirot. But what are the Sephirot? They're Eser Sephirot Blima. They're not on the level of consciousness. Good visions. Any other questions? Have a beautiful evening. Yes, Mary.
Well, one thing, the prayers will protect us then. Saying the Shema is enough protection.
If you have gone out today and stolen money and hit somebody in the face and took some food out of the homeless person's hands and took a wine bottle and hit somebody over the head with it, and you did all of those actions today, the Shema will not be a protection for you. Where are you? Just as when we go to sleep, our soul elevates to be recharged and cleansed next to its creator. But other times, other days, we don't have the merit to be elevated because of the actions we did during that day. The Shema is a help. It's not a guarantee. The guarantee is your good deeds, your good actions, your positive consciousness. If you're depressed and you do this, that depression is going to go with you. If you're happy, that happiness is going to take you higher. The prayers, the Ana Mekoach, scanning the Zohar, saying the Shema, these are protection shields. The shield is only as good as your actions during the day. Don't meditate if you've looked at your day and said, I really didn't do positive things today. But that's the time you need the meditation. don't do this meditation. I'll give you another meditation. Meditate on the Anabakoach. That in and of itself is a blessing. Use a verse from the Zohar. But if you're going to do this meditation, do it on a day you've done good deeds.
Where is it in the Zohar?
I'm sorry?
Where is it in the Zohar?
Where is what in the Zohar?
The Anabakoach.
The Anabakoach. You need to listen to class number 3. It'll tell you all about the Anabakoach, and it'll give you a printout for it. And as you saw, every class I start with the Anabakoach. It is a very important tool that I highly recommend you do every day, at least once, yes. And actually I recommend you do it as often as you need to. Any other questions?
Every day, I recommend it.
Say again, Chris?
Yes, I'm backing that up because, yes, every day the
Anabakoach. Chris has been doing the Anabakoach, what, 10 years?
No. I've been doing it for a couple of years.
Okay.
But it's very important.
If you want to make in contact with Chris, just let me know about it. I will facilitate the contact if you guys have difficulty. And that goes for any of you if you want to contact with each other. Everybody have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Okay, good night. Good night. Good night, Chris.
Good night. Thank you. Good night. Good night.